Good morning again. Thank you for your giving. It's good to see everybody this morning. Are you ready for the word today? Amen. That was pretty good. Are you ready? Amen. All right. You got some rest last week. We missed being together last week because of the snow, but that happens. That's Michigan. So glad you all ventured out today, but I'm ready to get into part three. We're going to be closing out the series I've been preaching on the last few weeks, and I'm ready to get into it. Amen. All right. I want to say, first of all, on behalf of Pastor Weston and Serena, too, Weston and Lindsay, thank you so much for the hot chocolate, getting all the supplies together, organizing the whole thing. Fantastic. Couldn't have done it without you, so thank you. And Kaylin, Delaney, and Sydney for putting up the Christmas trees, although I see we're missing something. Don't look. Oh, everybody looked as soon as I looked. So we'll be trying to figure out what happened with that later. Anyway, good deal. So the series I've been preaching on is titled Just a Simple Prayer, right? What is it? Lord, I want to know you more, right? And I'm going to start out totally different. We're going to have a couple testimonies really quick. So if I could have Gary and Swanson's come up. I want them to share just briefly about some things that the Lord has done in their life, and then we're going to get into part three, okay?
I want to start out by saying that I am so happy to see Lily here today. Yeah. My joy is so full I can barely even speak because I know what God has done. I know. Talk about a miracle? That's one right there. I know that... When my wife and I were first married, we went to Assembly of God Church in Ravana and were filled with the Holy Spirit and God began to work in our lives and we were able to minister to many people. And one of the things that God called us to do was to minister to the sick in the hospital. And we said, well. So her and I went and her cousin, Vicky, had cancer. And we went to just visit her because she's our cousin, right, you know, to see her. And I said, Vicky, can I pray for you? Now, this is a hardcore alcoholic. She says, yeah, Ron, I'd love for you guys to pray for me. So my wife and I laid hands on her, and we began to pray. And she says, ooh, I felt this warm feeling come all over me. When we were done, I said, you received that because God just healed you. And doctors confirmed that she was completely healed of cancer. And we just give God the praise and the glory. And I can talk time after time of how we've prayed and God has moved in a mighty way. A year ago today, I was able to pray the blessing over our shop party, which is 65 guys, which, you know, I've never done that before. But I asked the blessing over the food. And I thought, nothing of it. But it opened a door. Time after time, guys came up to me this last year and trying to talk here. And they've asked me, said, can you pray for this? Can you pray for that? And he did answer every single prayer. Amen. One guy came to me in January and he said, Ron, he goes, my ex-wife is dating a guy and we both quit drinking and we want to get back together. Can you pray for my wife and I? And I began to pray. And I talked to him every week. And I began to pray and pray. And I kept praying. And in July, he says, Ron, we're getting back together. I said, we'll keep praying. In August, end of August, he showed me his ring. He proposed to her. And then they're married now. And God put them back together. And they're taking a class at night, getting to know God better. So they're taking a good class to get them not only to love each other, but to begin to love God again, you know, together. Amen. So it just, God has just been fantastic.
Pastor Josh was talking about hearing from God. And understanding that it is him and he's speaking to you. I just have a couple things that I, first of all, I want to say that when you have the Lord in your life, he speaks to you all the time. Don't be surprised. If I don't hear from him on a regular basis, it's like, where are you? I need you. Where are you? Speak to me. And I really want that. And the Holy Spirit, he will. Not just through God's word, but through life. You can count on it. You can count on it. But this is just a couple of testimonies I have. Several years ago, my husband, Ron, and my son, Ronnie, were going to work, and they were in the S-curves, and there was a terrible accident, and they were in it to the point where they had to cut them out of the car. My son had an extreme concussion. He kept repeating things because he had been, his head hit so hard. What was amazing is that the car they were driving was a station wagon, and the police officer swore it was a compact. It was hit that hard. Anyway, after the accident, my son, they were both taken to the hospital. And make a long story short, my son was put into the room overnight to watch him because of the concussion. But my son was born not able to, he was born nearsighted. So he needed his glasses so he couldn't even watch TV or anything. So we needed to go to the impound and get the car. Well, poor Ron, he couldn't go into the facility because they had cut his clothes off when they cut him out of the car because they thought for sure he was broken all up. And there's no... He just had a scratch. But the point is they were worried about internal injuries. So anyway, so all he had was some paper clothing they gave him at the hospital. So he couldn't go in the thing. And the pastor that had brought us, because he didn't own the car, he couldn't go in this special impound either. So it had to be me. So I got out of the vehicle to go into this impound. And you had to go through the office part to get into the impound area where the cars are located. That's how they did it. So things didn't end up stolen and whatever. No complications. So I didn't realize that, but God did. When I got out of that car and I walked around that car, I heard as plain as day, God say, you don't have to be afraid of what didn't happen. And he said it so loud, people, I turned around. I turned around. I thought the pastor we were with and Ron, they spoke to me. They said that. And it took me a few seconds to realize it wasn't them. They were still sitting in the car. And the windows were up. And no, that was the Lord. And at first, like I said, I needed to let that register. And then all of a sudden, they took me in there. I went through the facility, the office, to get into the impound. When I got to the car, we're talking the back seat of that station wagon was pushed to the front. And it indeed looked like a compact car. It was that bad. But when I saw it, there was no fear. Even though they chased me down, when they realized they were taking me in to see that car, they were worried about how I would react when I saw it. But I didn't. I had no fear. What I thought in my mind was, ooh, this really is bad. And I started digging. And I went around to the back of the car, and right there on all the debris, all the smashed, mangled car, was a pair of glasses, my son's. The only thing wrong with them was one lens was popped out, which we popped back in. We took to the hospital, and then he was able to watch some TV and occupy himself while they watched him and observed him with that severe concussion. But we were able to take him home the very next day. God kept them safe. They were fine. They shouldn't have been. All of the emergency workers said that. But I heard God's voice. And I didn't have to be afraid. You don't have to be afraid of what didn't happen. That's good. And then the other thing I would just like to say is this is just another way of God speaking to you and how wonderful he really is. I was in the store, And I had to get some medication for my son. And I suffered from chronic fatigue. Anybody do that? You suffer from chronic fatigue. You're tired all the time. All the time. You don't know why. But you are. There was no reason for it, but I had this chronic fatigue. And I was in there, and as I was in there, I was getting this medication for him. I was drawn to look down this aisle, and I looked down this aisle, and I can't explain it to you, but this aisle, like, went from wide to narrow and focused on something that was in the cooler. And in the cooler was energy drinks. People drink energy drinks? There was energy drinks there. And I was pulled toward that. And as I was walking toward that, I heard as plain as day, if you start those things, you will never stop. And I said, what? I just stood still, and I go, oh. And I was still tempted. I was still tempted. It was luring me, the lights on those cans, and the not wanting to be tired anymore. You ever be tired? You just don't want to be tired no more. Anyway, so I said to the Lord, I said, all right. I said, I won't do it. I said, but you got to do something about this chronic fatigue. And so I walked out that door, got in that car, took that medicine home, took care of my son, and guess what? Other than being occasionally tired, like when you work yourself hard, I've never suffered chronic fatigue again. But see, those are just different ways. Different ways God will run interference for you.
Amen. So I'm going to go back to a time when I actually had just learned that the Holy Spirit was alive and here, okay? And when I was really learning to seek God and know God more and really wanting to know God more, and just driving down the road and out of the blue, God spoke to me the first time I really remember him speaking, and I'm not going to use a person's name, but he said, call so-and-so. And of course, you know, how spiritual I was at the time, I started arguing, well, you know, I don't even know his phone number, you know, I don't know where he lives, I don't, you know, how am I supposed to call him? And God spoke back, and he said he lives with Pastor Wally and Val, and for some of you who know Pastor Wally and Val from Muskegon, you may know who I'm talking about. But so I went home, this was before everybody had a cell phone on their hip, I went home. I knew Pastor Wally and Val's phone number because we ministered with them, and called their house and I said, hey, this is Gary, and can I speak to so and so? And yeah, hold on. And he came to the phone and said hello. And I said, hi, this is Gary Timmer. I said, you know, you can believe this or not. I said, but I was driving down the road and God told me to call you and pray with you. And he just started crying. He said, I was just praying, God, send somebody to pray with me and mentor me. That's it.
All right. You know, I think when we hear how God is moving in people's lives, how God uses people, rather than, you know, me just preaching it, right? It makes a difference, right? And that's what I want to talk about today. So hang with me. Next 25, 30 minutes or so, I want to get into the Word, but I want to talk about part three. First, part one, all right, was, Lord, I want to know you more. We need to know the Father's voice, right? When he's speaking, we need to know that God is speaking to us. Amen? All right, remember that. A couple weeks ago, part two was, we need to know his word in order to know his will. So the Bible is absolute truth, if you remember that, right? The Bible is a compass for our life. The Bible helps us to think and live differently. And God's word identifies who we are in Christ. Amen? Brings us to part three. We need to share what we know. Everybody say that with me. We need to share what we know. Say it like you mean it. We got to wake up for a few minutes. I know I told you a half hour. You're like, oh my goodness, we're going to be here all day. No, we're going to share what we know. There we go. Amen. All right. You know what? I'm going to do just a quick recap, refresher of the last couple weeks as we transition into part three here, okay? So remember this, as we remain in Christ and his words remain in us, Jesus says that we will bear fruit. Remember that? Okay. So again, from a couple weeks ago, John 15, verses 5 through 8 in the New Living Translation, it's on the screen for you. Yes, I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Anyone who does not remain in me is thrown away like a useless branch and withers. Such branches are gathered up into a pile to be burned. But if you remain in me and my words remain in you, you may ask for anything you want and it will be granted. When you produce much fruit, look at this, you are my true disciples. This brings great glory to my Father. What is a disciple? Anybody? Come on, it's so quiet. Oh, my word, this is going to be hard. Can you turn me up just a little bit, please? I feel like I'm really trying to push here. Thanks. What's a disciple? A follower of Jesus, right? A Christian. You are my true disciples if you bear fruit, is what Jesus is saying. You know, I preached about the vine. Remember that a couple weeks ago? And that we are the branches grafted into the vine and all that. It was so amazing when I went to work that week. couple doors down from me is this young kid, and he said, "Hey, Josh, I got to tell you what I want to do. My family's farm, you know, I'm going to inherit it someday, and it's, you know, it's for corn and all that stuff." He said, "But I want to turn it into a vineyard." And I'm like, "Really?" He said, "Yeah, it's so cool." He said, "I'm looking forward to going, walking down each vine and looking for the branch that has grapes and the branch that doesn't, and the one that doesn't to prune it. Because then it sends all the nutrients and all the energy to the branch that's producing fruit so it can make more." And I'm thinking in my head, did you just listen to my sermon? Because that's exactly what I talked about, right? Opened up into a great conversation. But being part of the vine, grafted into the vine, is so that we can bear and produce fruit. To have what kind of an impact? Do you remember? Temporary or eternal, right? Eternal impact on your social environment, on the people around you, your family, your friends, your workplace, your school, wherever you are. Jesus says, "You will be my disciples if you bear fruit." That's it. God bless everybody. No, I'm kidding. I wore that joke out a few weeks ago. That didn't go over so well this time. Matthew chapter 5, verses 13. Let's look at this. It says, "You are the salt of the earth." All right? Have you heard this before? "You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men." So when I'm a steak guy, all right? I love grilling steak. I love going to certain restaurants for steak. And if you put just a little bit of salt on there, like, it just pulls that flavor out. You know, it just magnifies. My mouth is already watering. Oh, my goodness. I think we're going to have a steak or something for lunch. But who's buying? Anybody? All right. No, the salt just increases the flavor. Okay, so Jesus is saying here, you are the one in the earth that, in the world, that is going to increase the flavor. You're going to crave, when people see you, they're going to crave more of God through you. Amen? All right, so you're with me. Verse 14, "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket to hide it," right? "But they put it on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." You know, several years ago, I did a, 15 years ago maybe, I did a sermon in here for the youth group, and it was completely black. It was completely pitch black, all right? And I already told you this building is scary when it's pitch black, but we were all together, so we were good. What I did was I started reading scripture, and I lit a candle, and that one candle lit up the room. It was pretty cool. But each other person was holding a candle, and I went around and touched that candle, and it became contagious, right? When we begin to share what God has done in our lives, okay, it becomes contagious. You become that light that people see you. They see that something is different inside of you, all right? And they just want more. They're drawn to it, okay? All right. So One thing I do want to throw out here, you know, it's easy to get caught up like in drama of life, drama in the workplace, drama wherever you are. But remember, we are called to be the salt of the earth. We're called to be the light of the world. We're called to produce eternal fruit, right? I'll tell you, who was saying this earlier? Ron. He didn't even see my notes, but he was given the opportunity to say the blessing over his was the dinner for his workplace, right? There's opportunities that I have when I'm sitting in a room with some coworkers or on a Zoom call, and they ask me, hey, what are you doing for the weekend? I get to share what I'm doing in church. I get to share what my family's doing. I get to share what God is doing in me. And it is so cool because the environment changes. The environment in that room changes. People are just like, oh, really? Nobody speaks like this. You know, the Zoom meeting changes. They're just like looking at me like, this is cool because I'm excited about what God is doing in my life. Amen. Jesus is setting the expectation in these scriptures, okay, that as his disciples, we're called to share what we've witnessed, and we've been called to share what we know. All right, that was a long introduction, a long segue into this. Ready? Part one. What should I say? I'm going to tell you a story here in a second that it was pretty challenging for me the first time I went out and tried witnessing, okay? But basically what it comes down to, if we can just really simplify this just for a second, your personal testimony about your life before Christ and how Jesus changed you, maybe a miracle in your life, that is going to be so impactful to whoever you're talking with because you want to hear what God is doing in their lives, right? You can read the scripture. We know it's true. We talked about that a couple weeks ago. But when you hear what God is doing in other people's life, what does it do? It encourages you, right? It draws you. You're like, this is so cool. I want that in my life. I want God to speak to me. I want him to do a miracle in my life. Let's talk about the word witness and testimony just for a second. The first thing I go to when I think about a witness or a testimony is what type of situation? Court? Yeah? How many have been in court and seen a witness or on TV, right? What is the whole purpose of a witness in that environment? To testify, right? It's to validate either the defense or the argument or the prosecution, right? It's to validate what's being said with an actual statement of facts. So here's my point. When you go to speak to people about what God has done in your life, you have been a witness and you are testifying, giving a statement of facts of what God has done in your life. And you know what? Nobody can dispute it. You speak it with confidence because you know it was God, right? That is what we're called to do. And that is what's going to impact the world around you, all right? It could be something as simple as, I was trying to figure out how to say this. Like when I go to talk with guys, I'm like, hey, man, hey, what's up? I don't know what you ladies say. So what do you say? I should have asked Kate. Do you say like, hey, lady? Hey, girl? No? Hey. Hey, girl. All right. Hey, you're never going to believe this. This is so exciting. Can I tell you something really exciting? Do you see how I just engaged you already? Because God has done so many cool things in my life that I'm excited about it. It doesn't matter if it was 10 years ago, 20 years ago, or this morning. I'm excited about what God has done in my life, and I share it confidently, all right? So we need to share what we know God has done, okay? And when you say, hey, can I just tell you? This happened a while ago, but you know, I was thinking about this morning, what God has done, and I just want to share this with somebody. It opens doors for conversation, like Ron said, okay? It is so, so cool. So it's good to have something to say, but sometimes there's spontaneous situations where you don't have a script. Somebody's going to come up to you, like they did with Ron, and say, hey, can I share with you what's going on in my life? I mean, this is pretty challenging for me, and you're like, what do I say? Have you ever been there? Anybody ever been there? I have, right? You're like, what do I say? Here's something so cool. The Holy Spirit will teach you what to say sometimes in the very moment that you need it. That's why it's so important to know the voice of the Father and to know his word, to know his will, because he's going to start speaking through his word. Everything he speaks to you is going to line up with scripture, right? And you're going to feel that scripture rise up in you at the right opportunity, okay? Let's look at this in Luke chapter 12. When Jesus is telling his disciples, kind of give them a word of caution, a heads up here. He says, now, when they bring you to the synagogues and magistrates and authorities, don't worry about how or what you should answer or what you should say, for the Holy Spirit will teach you in the very hour what you ought to say. I'm going to share something. Try not to get too deep into this because this would be a whole nother sermon about the gift of the Holy Spirit. But it is something that we can't ignore, all right? If you're familiar with Acts chapter 2, when there were 120 disciples in the upper room, they began praying just like Jesus instructed them to. They began waiting for the Holy Spirit to come, right? You all know the story? The promise, right? And they began, the Holy Spirit came, and they began speaking in languages that they didn't understand. Okay, here's the cool thing. In Jerusalem at that time, there were 15 or 16 different nationalities, different dialect groups in that city at that moment. And they all heard the praises of God in that coming out of that room in their own language. This blew the minds of all those people in Jerusalem. Like, how in the world, what is going on here? Peter had an opportunity then to share about the promise, right? And he says this in Acts chapter 2. Peter, we'll get there in a second. I'm sorry. But Peter was testifying about the outpouring of the Holy Spirit and told them that they had just killed Jesus, the Messiah, and they had to repent. So they're like, what should we do? All right, Peter replied this. He said, each of you must repent of your sins and turn to God and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins. Then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This promise is to come to you, your children, and to those far away, all who have been called by the Lord our God. Then Peter continued preaching for a long time. Now I want to stop here just for a second. How long did he preach? A long time. I'm only going to be here for another 20 minutes. Peter preached for a long time, and guess what he didn't have? Huh? He didn't have notes, right? He began speaking under the direction and under the unction, I love that word, of the Holy Spirit, okay? So as he spoke, here's what happened. He said, save yourselves from this crooked generation. And then 47, the end of 47, here's what happened. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Peter spoke what he knew. He shared what he knew. He shared under the direction of the Holy Spirit, just like we're called to do. Amen? Acts chapter 3, there's the story of a lame man. Many of you might know this. You know, he couldn't walk. He had been on his bed for years or his whole life, and he was crying out for money. Hey, somebody give me money so I can buy food. Peter and John are walking by, and they said, you know what? Silver and gold, I don't have for you. But in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Just through speaking those words, that lame man was healed. He picked up his bed and he started walking down the street with them. All right, this is interesting. They got brought, just like Jesus was warning, before the leaders of that time, okay, in Acts chapter 4, verse 8 through 9. Then Peter, they were asking, why did this happen? And Peter said, then filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers and elders of our people, are we being questioned today because we've done a good deed for a crippled man? Do you not know how he was healed? Verse 8 again, the Holy Spirit came on Peter. It was by the name, and then he said, by the name of Jesus, this guy was healed. Acts chapter 4. Still continue on, verse 13 through 14. The members of the council were amazed when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, for they could see that they were ordinary men with no special training in the scriptures. I love that part. They also recognized them as men who had been with Jesus, but since they could see the man who had been healed standing right there among them, there was nothing the council could say. The leaders recognized that Peter and John were ordinary men. Untrained men. They were fishermen. They worked in the marketplace. They weren't religious leaders. They weren't pastors. They didn't have a 30-point sermon. It's only two, okay? They didn't have all that. But the other thing here is the leaders recognized that they had been with Jesus. right? They had spent time getting to know Jesus. And then the Holy Spirit began to speak through them in ways that couldn't even be disputed. All right, so cool. So I told you I was going to tell you a story. When I was back in 1999, 2000, somewhere around there, when I was getting my studying to get my certificate of ministry, one of the classes I had to do was I had to go and witness to like 30 people. Did you go with me? I thought so. Because I didn't want to go alone. That's weird. All right. I'm kidding. It's not. I learned it's not. Okay. So I went to the old, we went to the old Muskegon Mall. Now I'm really dating myself. If you know the old Muskegon Mall. Okay. And I had to come up, I was trying to come up with these creative ways. How do I spark a conversation with somebody? What do I say that's not going to sound weird? All these thoughts are just going through my head. What am I going to say? Some people were older than me. Some people were younger than me. Some people were receptive and let me pray with them. Other ones laughed at me and walked away. All right? Whatever. But what I didn't do was I didn't share my personal testimony. I didn't share what God had done in me. I was sharing a lot of scripture. Can you imagine if you went up to somebody and said, you've never met before. Hi, I'm Josh. Nice to meet you. For God so loved the world that he gave his one only son that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Do you want to get saved? Okay. Right? Guys, first time in almost 27 years, I've gotten to use you as an example. All right. Oh, man. So what you say when you witness to people, okay, it's not just the generic, and I want to like understate the importance of the message of God's love. But it's not just God loves you. It's here's why I know he loves you. Here's why I know he loves me, because of what he's done in my life. Amen? Point number two, and guess what? This is the last one. I only had 2 points today. When and where should we share? Okay, when and where should we share? You probably already know the answer to this, okay? Our life is full of opportunities every day, whether it's at work, whether it's at school, whether it's at home, the grocery store, getting your food from the McDonald's drive-thru, wherever you are, you have an opportunity to speak into somebody's life, okay? I was at the grocery store one time here at Family Fair, and there was this girl, that cashier. She was very quiet, very shy, very, very timid, and just fearful, just looked like she had fear, you know? And I said, as I'm paying, I said, you know, I just want to tell you something. I really feel like you just need to know that God does love you. And she's like, why would you say that? I said, because it's true. Because I know he loves me. And I shared some stuff with her, you know. But taking those opportunities to share how you know God loves somebody is going to change the world around you. Take every opportunity. In Acts chapter 4, we were just reading a little bit of this already. Peter and John were questioned because of healing this lame man, right? Peter testified of God's power and his goodness, and many believed by what they had heard him say. And in verse 4, we see that the church grew to about 5,000 people that day. 5,000 people that day. All right? Jesus, the Lord, was already adding to the church daily those who were being saved. But that one day when Peter testified about why that guy got healed, 5,000 people were added. Just to put this in perspective, the Coopersville population is a little over 4,800 people based on the 2022 census, okay? Can you imagine you sharing something with somebody that God has done in your life and they get just totally, like it catches on like a wildfire, right? And they want to come and hear about Christ. They want to come here, okay? Now, what if all of you did that? What if all of us did that? We'd have to bust the walls out of this place because people want to come hear about Christ. Or we'd have to build a new building because people want to come to hear about Christ. Those just over 4,800 people here in Coopersville, not all of them attend church here in town or at all. There is such an opportunity with us in this community to reach the people that need to hear about Christ and get them introduced to him. Amen? Amen. So how do we get there? This next statement, just because it rhymes, don't get caught on the number. You, me, tell three, invite three. All right? Pretty simple. You, me, tell three, invite three. Three rhymes with me. That's why I put that in there. You good? Don't get hung up on the number three. But listen, I think it's an attainable goal. Okay? We've been praying, God, I want to know you more. Speak to me. Show me your direction for my life through your word. And now, Lord, I need to share what you've done with me, done in me with other people. Okay? You might be streaming this in person today or maybe 10 years from now. Or you might be here in person and you're like, I don't live in Coopersville. That's fine. That doesn't matter. God's not, you know, restricted to a geographical location. Share wherever you are at whatever time you're there. All right? We can do that. We can do that. God has a big house. He's not going to shut the door to people that want him, right? And we shouldn't either. So don't limit God to those types of restrictions. I've been in other cities where I didn't live. And I remember sitting at a park with one of my daughters, Sadie. And we're sitting there and she's playing and this other dad comes up. He sits down, his daughter is playing, they're kind of running around the playground, and he and I are talking, and he wasn't a Christian, but he began sharing things in his life, and I was able to share Christ with him, and I knew that there was a good Assemblies of God church in town, and I said, hey, there's this church over in this area, you need to go there. There's some really nice people there, really loving people, get involved, get in there, and we had a great conversation, but I took the opportunity. It didn't matter that I was however many hours away from home, God puts you where he wants you at the time that he needs you. Do you believe that? Amen. All right. So we can't just wait to do it, just do it. We can't wait to go. We can't wait to share, just share now what God has done in your life, okay? Matthew 28, of course I'm going to put this verse in here because we all should all know this, the Great Commission, 28:19-20. Listen to what Jesus says. Therefore, what? Shout it out. Go. We're going to shout it out. Therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I've given you. And be sure of this. Listen to this. I am with you always, even to the end of the age. When you are going and you're sharing Christ with people, you are not alone. God is with you and the Holy Spirit is with you. He's going to bring, again, the scripture to remembrance that you need to know at the time that you need to know it. Amen. Be in the Word, know his voice, share what you know. The last few weeks we've been talking about a prayer and we've been kind of building on it. All right, so Josh, if you could put this on the screen, please. Lord, I want to know you more. Speak to me. I want to hear your voice, right? Week one. Reveal your Word to me and help me to know your will for my life. Help me to take every opportunity to share what you've done in my life. It doesn't need to be a word for word like that, but those 3 points. I want to know your voice. I want to know your direction. And help me to share. Help me to take every opportunity to share what I know. Tell three or more. Invite three or more. But the importance is that as true disciples, as true Christians, we need to be producing eternal fruit. Amen? Amen. Why don't you bow your heads with me and close your eyes? And worship team, if you'd come, please. Heavenly Father, we just come to you right now. And Lord, I ask God that you would just create in us just a passion to reach people for you. This world is in need of a Savior. There are people around us in our community that are in need of true love. They're in need of healing. They're in need of deliverance. God, they're in need of freedom. They're in need of hope. And Lord, I don't want to be a branch on that vine that isn't producing fruit for you. Lord, I think all of us in this place want to be used by you. Would you use us, Lord? Would you use us this week to share what we know? God, you've been so good to us. Thank you, Lord.